Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hello.
Hub Arkish.
His expertise in football is second to none.
670 The Score's senior football expert.
You're talking to one of the great techno boobs of all time.
Executive editor of Pro Football Weekly.
This is probably too much information, but I always keep my phone in my back pocket. I just feel like my ass is buzzing permanently at this point. It's crazy.
Shaw media analyst and sideline reporter for Westwood One.
We've got Joe calling in from Elgin.
I just want to say that you are so underrated. You're fantastic. You really are. You've got a great opinion. I would listen to you all day.
Hub Arkish.
I'd love to poke you. I'm not going to now.
With Dan Bernstein and Leila Rahimi on 670 The Score. The Score.
On our Horizon Therapeutics Bears Mondays, Hub Arkish is a mainstay. He is on Twitter at Hub_Arkish. The Score senior football expert, executive editor of Pro Football Weekly and of Shaw Media, is with us on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Well, Hub, that is another one off the schedule, and it is yet the most recent time to begin confronting big and serious questions and concerns. And I think you did, in so many words, in the piece that you wrote for Shaw Media. I just wonder, sort of the next response after I read, is how and when do we get on with it?
Well, I guess that's the open question right now, Dan. It's hard to imagine that there isn't going to be significant change. You know, what significant means remains to be seen. I know for a long time, most of the last 3.5 years, we have felt that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are joined at the hip. Everything that I'm hearing from my sources is that's not the case right now. Not to say that there won't be a complete house cleaning. It's definitely a possibility. And I think that the Packers game is probably going to be a landmark. I don't think, you know, knowing what the rivalry means to the family, means to the fan base, that they want to take the spotlight away from that game and focus it on a firing or any changes. Guys, this could go until Black Monday. We just don't know. You know, a lot is being made of this new rule change that allows you to interview prospective candidates for coaching jobs the last 2 weeks. But right now, there's only one team, the Raiders, that are able to do that. And so there is no magic in that. Chris, unfortunately, it falls on Christmas Day. The Seahawks game is the 26th. Then you got 2 weeks after that. I don't think anybody doubts at this point that there's going to be significant change. But how deep it goes and what the timing is going to be, that is as an open question now as it's been the last few weeks.
I know we talked a little bit about what we think separates Ryan Pace at this point from Matt Nagy, but you can make significant arguments that Pace deserves to lose his job after how many draft miscues he's had, after hiring the coach that he did hire, after structuring the cap in the way he has. What is the indicator that you are getting that he's done enough to somehow save his job and be tabbed with the responsibility of potentially hiring another head coach?
Well, Layla, it's two things. You're right. You can make significant arguments that you know, he has failed and should be fired. You can also make significant arguments that it hasn't been as bad as people paint it. And so that's just a question of which side of those arguments you want to be on. But I think the more relevant point is that, you know, you don't have to make arguments. It's ownership that makes that decision. And you know, all I can tell you is that I'm hearing that they're still relatively comfortable with him. You know, other than that, I don't know where else to go with it. It's the coaching hire thing. You know, almost no GM gets to hire a third coach, but a lot of them do get a second crack. This would only be his second actual crack. And again, I'm just answering your question. I'm not offering an opinion here. And you also have the issue, right or wrong, you know, we can talk about the failings of the McCaskey family as, quote, football people all we want, but it doesn't matter. They own the football team, and they're going to make the decisions and do the things that they want to do. And I don't think that there's anybody, media or fan base out there, who's any more comfortable than they appear to be with George and Ted having to do a coaching search or a GM search on their own. And so it is a factor, and I don't have a good answer for it unless they hire a football czar, get out of his way this time, and we just hope that they fire the right guy. Hire the right guy, I'm sorry.
Both. I do think something that you were saying is important, that at least we can figure this out. If Matt Nagy is indeed fired, then that would imply that he had a contract that lasted past the season. That's not an answer we've had before.
Yeah, guys, we've talked about this. Why this became highly classified, red file, need to know only, I don't know. But we don't know how long the contracts of either Ryan Pace or Matt Nagy run, whether that's a factor or not in the McCaskey's decision, I can't say. It could very well be that we'll get a surprise, that at the end of the year they'll say, hey, their contracts have expired and we're not renewing one or both. It's a good point, Layla. It's certainly out there, and I don't know the answer to it. Not for lack of trying, but it's just not information. I don't know if you guys recall, but the last time Ryan spoke to us, which was, right after the final cuts, just after Labor Day, I asked him specifically, why is this a secret? And he just said, I can't tell you. He said, that's the decision that's been made, and it's not something we're going to discuss. So, we're going to have to wait and see.
If I were being optimistic and thinking that it's still possible that some good can come of this, I think about how it went down with the Bulls, and it's not an easy apples-to-apples comparison to compare the Bears to the Bulls, although people want to do it because it's a facile thing to do. But if you're going to do it right, the higher move comes first, and you do this in order. If people remember, it took forever to fire Jim Boylan. It took forever to hire easily the dumbest person in the organization and the most obvious person to be fired. But they did it right. They hired the top person first. They hired the next person after that. And they let the dumbest guy in the organization, who everybody knew was going to get fired, they let him send out press releases and go around and doing all the silly stuff. And it didn't matter because they did things patiently in the right order. And were the Bears to do it the correct way, and if they're going to hire a president of football operations, that might be how it works. And it might be that person hires a general manager, and then those people together decide to hire a coach. And until then, Matt Nagy's just an easy punching bag to take the attention off everything else, and fans can chant whatever they want. And that may just be me uncharacteristically being over-optimistic.
Well, Dan, there's no question about it that if you're going to make a coaching change and clean up your front office, then of course you've got to make the front office change first, because then you've got the person in charge to do the rebuilding. And maybe this is the kind of hints that people are looking for, the longer, if you were to fire both your general manager and your head coach right now, Then you've got an interim head coach and you're looking for the guy to come in and redo things. But the longer that you don't, you know, that you go with Matt after a game. This is so hard because he really is a class act. We just got done talking to him. The man's out there, you know, coaching and doing his job. But it's where we're at. And so the longer that he stays in that job, it could be the hint that they're going to do a complete house cleaning and that there's no point in starting now until the end of the year because the 2 weeks at the end of the year don't matter. If you do not have the person in charge of the future of the organization starting on Black Monday in place, then what's the advantage of the 2 weeks before? Who's going to be doing that interviewing? So it's all an open question. But exactly to your point, you could not be more correct. If you're going to make dramatic changes, then you know the guy at the top has to come first. And when we talk about a football czar or a president of football operations, that's all about titles. It doesn't matter if it's a president of football operations or it's a general manager, as long as that person has complete control of the football operation with absolutely no interference. So, you know, let's not get hung up on the titles. I think it would be fine if they brought in a new general manager, and if that guy wanted to keep Ryan Pace as his director of player personnel, that's fine. You know, the titles are irrelevant. The question is, who is the final word? Who is the ultimate say on what's happening on the football field with the Chicago Bears? And honestly, I don't think we've known that since Jim Finks left.
Wow.
And that's what we're all trying to figure out. You guys did work your hardest to try to ask those questions that we needed the last couple of times that Pace and ownership has talked. The interesting thing to me, Hub, is if there were time to do it, wouldn't you think it would be ahead of a draft where you don't have a first-round pick and you don't have to at least have that hanging over you when you're trying to gradually build a regime?
Well, yeah. I mean, now you're talking, though, the draft is what? Next April, you know, next spring. Again, yeah, I get your point that this is a year. Well, you know, I don't know, Layla. I mean, you know, if you're going to put somebody new in charge, you want them to have all the assets they can possibly have. You can make the counter argument that if that's what you're going to do, then start unloading the veterans. Get all the draft picks you can for these guys if it's a complete rebuild.
Which is what a new GM usually does. Yeah, you're right.
Well, it depends on what situation they're coming into, though, because I don't know that this is a complete rebuild. I mean, you got to be excited about Justin Fields. You're in really great shape at running back, and you're seeing some promise on the offensive line. You know, defensively, again, we've talked about there are some young players that you could build around, certainly Roquan Smith, you know, maybe Eddie Jackson, maybe Bilal Nichols. And then these 30-somethings, I mean, there's no reason to believe that you know, Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn can't be dominant players for another year or two. So that's the other, you know, kind of question here is what are we talking about? You do want a complete reshuffling possibly of the people in charge, but I don't think you want to do a complete rebuild on this team yet. I don't know that you need to. So, you know, how that impacts the timing or not, I don't really know.
We're going to come back and talk a little bit about some of these players that we see on the field, the state of the Bears roster. And you gave some reason for optimism there. You got running backs. You've got a quarterback. You have the makings of an offensive line. Let's see how far we can go with that and maybe mitigate that with some discussion elsewhere. Because the remainder of this year, we say, like, what are we doing in these games when we start looking at personnel? These are the questions that we're going to try to answer with Hub Arkish on this, a Horizon Therapeutics Bears Monday with Bernstein and Rahimi on the Score. Talking Bears with Hub Arkush on this Horizon Therapeutics Bears Monday. And there's so many random dudes out there in Bears uniforms.
Yes.
Doing random dude things.
Oh, Bears.
Bears. Just
random dudes in general.
Guys, like, I don't want to care about Xavier Crawford and Cassius Marsh and Bruce Irvin. Like, what is going on with this roster? How did we get quite here to these guys, and is there a plan to make sure the deployment of whoever's out there is with an eye on making it matter toward winning something?
Well, you know, I think the obvious place to start is injuries have been significant. They're not an excuse. They're not an explanation for anybody, but they're the reason we're seeing a lot of these guys out there. And then you look at the positions. you know, listen, nobody's pretending that this is a contending team. There are some areas, as we talked about before the break, you can feel good about. But there's some areas where we're coming into the season, we had our doubts. They were never good enough at wide receiver. You know, you had A-Rob and Mooney, and you hoped that you know, Marquise Goodwin and Damir Bird were nice additions. It turned out Goodwin has been productive on occasion, but has now been out for a few weeks. A-Rob has missed almost half the season at this point. And so that's how you end up with guys like Rodney Adams, who was a great, you know, story in the preseason, but after the pass he dropped yesterday, I'm not sure that you keep him on the roster. You know, you look at your cornerback situation, and you felt really good for really the first half of the season about Jaylon Johnson and Kendall Vildor, but then Vildor, you know, starts to struggle. Duke Shelley goes down with a hamstring, and now you're, you know, four or five deep on the depth chart there. I mean, Xavier Crawford, I hate to talk about, you know, people this way, but I don't know why he has a job here, and you know, and you saw it yesterday. You know, you look at all the attrition, you know, at the linebacker position, and actually they're still not playing awful, but obviously, you know, you're not at the level of the better teams in the NFL, and you know, so some of it was that they were never deep enough, and some of it is that even when you're deep enough, the injuries eventually take their toll.
I agree when it comes to the problems of what we've seen about below replacement level players being out on the field together. It's an unfortunate result of what happened vis-a-vis Fuller being gone and then the cap management and what we saw as the plan when it came to the depth at corner. And unfortunately, it's reared its head pretty ugly when you know, the injuries get exposed. What did you see out of the defense closer to the ball? Maybe the play of the linebackers. I was surprised Roquan Smith came back. I worry about that when you have a hamstring and you're on that kind of turf and that kind of weather, but he made some plays yet again.
He did. He obviously wasn't himself, though. You know, he didn't take over the way he often can. I was, I don't want to say shocked, but certainly very surprised that he was back out there 10 days later.
I was surprised,
now,
yeah.
You know, Layla, there are degrees of hamstring pulls, though, and what it tells you is that it could very well be that the injury itself was more a twinge than a pull, and playing on 4 days rest in Detroit and thinking maybe they could get by without him, that they were cautious. I think they know the value of Roquan Smith, and I don't think they were going to take any significant risk out there. And you get a guy like Roquan, and if he's not reporting accurately how he feels to the trainers, that makes it interesting too. So, you know, we talked to Matt a little while ago. He said no new injury news, so I guess Roquan came out okay, and you feel good about that. You know, Alec Ogletree has played well for him, but it doesn't change the fact that he was on the street, you know, 2 weeks before the start of the season. Christian Jones is great as depth, but when he becomes the principal guy on your defense, you know, think about where you started. You know, you go from your linebackers are Robert Quinn, Khalil Mack, Roquan Smith, and Danny Trevathan, and now, you know, Khalil's gone, Trevathan is gone, Roquan's playing hurt. Ogletree was just coming back off an injury, and so, you know, that's how it starts to get ugly. I think that the defensive line has actually impressed me without Akeem Hicks, because obviously Akeem's the linchpin, and he's been gone for, it seems like, forever now. And then Mario Edwards, who's one of your best interior penetrators, wasn't out there yesterday either. So, I hope our listeners know you've got to separate. And these aren't excuses. You know, it's all part of the problem. But unfortunately, at times, it is the answer, whether we like the answer or not.
I know Matt Nagy already spoke today, and I'm not sure if he addressed more specifically the plan with Tevin Jenkins. So see if you can walk me through the logic here. He's healthy enough to be on the active roster. He's healthy enough to be active in uniform on game day. But it's almost like they don't really want to play him. And I'm not quite sure if working him in, and we talked about this, you know, working on special teams, just sort of getting him used to playing NFL football. How are they going to determine when there's a little sink or swim moment here?
You know, Matt spoke specifically about that again today. And basically, I think he's being honest with us when he tells us he's just not sure. And the thing you got to remember is that when you say healthy enough to do this, healthy enough to do that, He is healthy enough to do this, but there's no reason to believe that he's in anything resembling football shape. And remember, they didn't do this Saturday because they decided, okay, he's 100% ready to go. They did it because if they didn't do it by the end of the day today, they had to shut him down for the season. And so there are five games left to play. Every indication I get from him is that they do intend to see him on the field over the next 5 weeks, but now they're trying to pick the right spot. And I think the right spot is a combination of, is he actually 100% ready to go now? What has he gotten out of these limited practices that he's had so far and whatever non-game training you can do? And, you know, at what point are you willing to take that chance at the possible expense of not playing as well as you can or losing a football game because of it? And the thing that Matt did talk specifically about today is that regardless of what anybody thinks about where they're at, and he did not bring up, you know, playoff contention or anything like that, but he did point out with five games left to play, they owe it to every guy in that locker room to do everything they can to give them the best chance to win. And that's the ball they're juggling right now. So I think we're absolutely going to see Tevin Jenkins on the field. I don't think it's if, I think it's when. And I think they're trying to figure out when the right spot for that is. And if it doesn't happen Sunday at Lambeau Field, I would expect it to happen very shortly thereafter.
I do think, though, that hopefully that means not forcing Justin Fields too quickly. And Nagy, it sounds like, talked about that to the media today, but said, Hub, that it wasn't going to be a likely IR situation. Can you expand any more on what's been said about Justin Fields so far?
No, he keeps saying it's strictly a pain issue, and I wish he wouldn't say that because, you know, it's obviously a pain issue in large part, but it's more to know that those ribs are healed. You know, I think Dan talked about this right off the jump when we found out they were broken ribs. I mean, you know, there are displaced fractures, and then there's, you know, broken but in place. You worry less about those, but if there was a displaced fracture of any kind, you've got a sharp edge there around organs. You know, I mean, you don't mess with that, you know.
No, yeah.
And so, you know, I'm sure that there's been a series of X-rays. I'm sure they're keeping an eye on it. And then once you're comfortable that there is no risk of other damage and, you know, to internal injuries, then it's a pain issue because the pain isn't going away anytime soon. It takes 5 or 6 weeks to fully heal broken ribs. And so what he said today is that they continue to go day to day to find out first, you know, when is he physically able to go? And then he indicated when he's physically able to go, you're going to see him. And then you get back to Tevin Jenkins. I mean, you know, once you put him back out there, do you want Tevin Jenkins, having never taken an NFL snap, protecting his blind side at the expense of taking your best offensive lineman right now off the field? And that's what Jason Peters is. You know, on the other side, it'd be easy to start him at right tackle. I think that's where he's going to end up eventually. But Larry Borum, you know, has earned that spot. He's another rookie you're trying to develop. So it's a complicated question for him. And I'm sure they're going to get him all some playing time. And they're just trying to kind of balance that puzzle, if you will.
Layla and I were talking about this during the break. Larry Borum's good.
Yeah, he is. And I'll tell you what, he's not only good, but he looks like a left tackle to me. And I know, I think we talked about this before. You know, if you end up with your bookend tackles for 5, 6, 8 years, in Larry Borum and Tevin Jenkins, do you really care which one's on the left and which one's on the right? You know, when they drafted them, it appeared they were both right tackles. They spent some time selling Tevin Jenkins as a left tackle because they were as surprised as we were when he showed up at that rookie minicamp with a completely different body than he had the last time they saw him on tape. And the commitment that this kid made to becoming an NFL player and a pro allowed him to show athleticism and feet that nobody had seen before. And so that's serving him well on the right side because he's still got that big brawling mentality, but he appears to have what I've seen so far, which is limited. He appears to have a few more left tackle traits than Jenkins does, and they're not going to tell us, but I'm sure they're trying to balance and figure that out too.
Well, I sure hope that if Justin Fields comes back in time, that we do see the moving pocket that we saw created for Andy Dalton, and part of it was involved with Borum pulling far to the right side, helping set the edge. And his speed was impressive yesterday.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy, and you know, let's not forget where Jason Peters came from. You're talking about an undrafted free agent who played tight end at Arkansas. When you find a body that size with that kind of athleticism and ability to move, then you figure out the way to best leverage it, and that's what they're doing with Larry Borum right now.
Who was the guy who was on the Bears practice squad forever, the giant tackle they had relatively recently, Hub, and it was same thing, amazing body, 6'7", 330, whatever, total project, and they finally cut him. You know who I'm talking about?
Well, it's not Teo Fabaluje.
Yes, Teo Fabaluje.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Well, he was
Thank
one
you.
Of Ryan's. He was in Ryan's first draft, and he was a remark. And he was from I think an FCS school. I may have that wrong, but I think so. And you know, just a guy that you thought, man, we should be able to do something with this. But you know, if you don't have that nasty offensive line temperament, you can have whatever body you want. And Teo just turned out not to be an NFL player. But yeah, he was that type of prospect. Although, you know, Larry Borum and Tevin Jenkins were outstanding college football players at the highest level, you know, in the big, well, some will argue the Big 12 isn't the highest level, but that's where they were.
The game on Saturday.
It's still Power 5 stuff, and so that makes it the highest level. Teo was not that. He was just more of a body that you wanted to kind of mess around with.
Also, I think it's worth your thoughts on just seeing the offensive production out of David Montgomery, one of the few bright spots, and clearly so, with 141 total yards, adding to that 90 on the ground.
Well, you know, I mean, he finished last year as one of the top four running backs in the NFL, you know, fourth in total yardage from scrimmage, and he's been better this year. You know, the numbers have suffered because of the injury, so nothing surprising about it, and what you love even more, I wish every Bears fan could have been in that room with him yesterday in that post-game press conference. I don't know if you guys, if they streamed it, if you guys got to see it. If it is streamed and if it's available, watch it.
It's on YouTube.
It was one of the most impressive young player performances I've ever seen. I mean, this was a kid who was speaking from the heart and you know, bearing his soul and taking time to stop and be thoughtful in his answers. I mean, this is a guy you can build an offense around, and it's just one. But that's why I say that there are a handful of these guys, you know. And going back to something you and I don't think we were debating it, but I was just trying to, you know, present the other side. Ryan Pace has brought in a fair number of these guys, you know, and this is something that the McCaskies look at. So you weigh, you know, the successes and the failures. David Montgomery is a real success. Now, you look at it, and once again, they had to trade up in the third round to do it. But that was worth it, you know, for what you got. And so it's what makes, at this point, I don't think, to me, the most telling thing of visiting with Matt this morning, I asked him about Andy Dalton's performance. And he went back and recounted, you know, how each of the four turnovers occurred, and I said, Matt, I know that, but what I'm asking is he finally had you know, a full week of practice, and he comes out and plays one of the five worst games of his 148 starts, and how do you explain that? Is it him? Is it the team? And he went into a pretty good answer about where the team is at, and you know, one of the things he talked about is that it's the details. It's 11 guys. It's the little mistakes we keep making, and if we could just correct them. And it was at that moment that I realized my column for today, and I realized, you know, what the explanation is. Yeah, but that's the story of so many teams and so many coaches. And at this point, at the end of your fourth year, you can't correct them, you know. And so, unfortunately, that's why a good man who knows far more football and offense than he gets credit for is going to have to lose his job, because that's what separates head coaches from the rest, you know. And you know, maybe he'll get another shot somewhere, but he's just not ready yet. And that's kind of where this team is at right now.
I am looking at the FanDuel app on my phone right now, and I'm seeing that for the NCAA FBS Championship, Alabama is your favorite at plus 120, Georgia plus 135. Big drop-off to your Wolverines at plus 750, Cincinnati bringing up the rear at plus 1,800. And the line for that Georgia-Michigan game is maybe betting on having some people come in late and try to push it a little closer, but I'm seeing minus 7.5. I'm seeing minus 10. Not a lot of love for your Wolverines at the moment.
Well, you know, Dan, that all makes sense. I understand that. I mean, the SEC has been the far superior conference for years and years. And at the end of the day, you know, you got to win two games, whether it's, you know, Alabama, Georgia, Michigan, or Cincinnati. So it's much ado about nothing. The thing that really upsets me so much, though, is everything we can find wrong with the whole college football playoff system. I didn't make Michigan 2 and Alabama 3 going into Saturday. The committee did, okay? And so then you ask, did Georgia do anything to impress you guys that make that Alabama win so impressive? No, Georgia wasn't very good. If anything, Iowa was more impressive, at least with their defense, and Michigan trounced them far more than Alabama trounced, you know, Georgia. So that's why I think it's ridiculous that Alabama gets jumped over Michigan. But then you get to now, yeah, Alabama should be the favorite. They're probably the best team, you know, and Georgia may be the second best team. So it all makes sense. But I just wish the job of the college football playoff committee was to award the young men for their accomplishments and not try and be bookmakers and you know, establish point spreads and base their rankings on that, because that's pretty clearly what they did.
Yeah, I also wish they would expand the playoff, because the whole point of the playoff is to have them play each other to see who's supposed to win. That's always been my request.
Yeah, and I got to believe that everybody in the world who isn't from Tuscaloosa is pulling for Cincinnati to beat Alabama, because that it's not going to happen. But I mean, it would be the ultimate, you know, proof that they got to stop screwing with this. And you know, I don't think Cincinnati fits with these other three teams. But what more can they do? You know, I mean, 13-0 speaks for itself. And here's another team that, you know, went into Saturday and did everything they could and didn't get rewarded for it. And yet a team that didn't show up in Georgia, you know, basically, you know, theoretically does get rewarded for it. So that's the part of this that's all unfortunate. But I mean, anybody who knows about talent and watches football, yeah, probably Alabama should be the favorite and Georgia probably should be the second favorite until somebody starts knocking off these SEC schools. That's the way it's going to be.
Agreed.
Hub, thanks. We'll talk Wednesday.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Hub.
That's Hub Arkush. When we come back, we will put a button on things with just some vintage Mike Leach at it again. You take a negative, you turn it into a positive. He took a literal misstep and made it into a recruiting video. It's cool stuff from him, because he's a unique individual. He's next on The Score.
A while back, I found that Europe had better candy than we did overall, because they have gummy everything.
It's no secret. I enjoy the way Mike Leach describes things. All things. I find him to think interestingly. He's always been like this, even in conversations that I've had with him randomly, where he told me when he was the head coach at Texas Tech, he wanted a Gatling gun that shooted just T-shirts. Shot T-shirts.
A T-shirt Gatling gun.
Correct.
Where if you crank it around, like, the drum would just fire one T-shirt after the other as soon as it lined up with the firing pin.
And I frankly thought this was a great idea. So when Mike Leach pops up in my social media, as it tends to do, because sometimes your algorithm is good, you're going to be entertained.
Mine is good.
Your algorithm is different. My algorithm is weird stuff. Your algorithm is a totally different thing. That is a euphemism for something else.
Mine just hot middle-aged women in bikinis.
Yes. That is Dan's algorithm.
Hot, famous middle-aged women who kind of have had a decent head start on the whole thing. It's like Polina Poroskova and Heidi Klum still look good? Yes, because they were on the cover of Sports Illustrated at one point in their lives.
But Dan's going to double check. Thanks, algorithm.
Got to make sure that, you know, that whether it's Halle Berry or, you know, you never know.
Just
after
sexy.
After the midway last week, Dan's algorithm changed.
No,
yes,
that freaked me out too much. That was too frightening. That won't make the algorithm. No, I didn't do that on the phone either.
That was a fun discussion to just simply listen to. Just as sexy as Mike Leach. Not really, but I appreciate the information that he gives us. So this is from Trey Mongrew, and he is at WLBT in Jackson, Mississippi. Shout out to our small market media friends working their way up in the world. And he posted this on the last day of November. He said, Mike Leach nearly tripped and busted 20 seconds before this, and it was some event where Leach was speaking. And he said, what came next was what we've come to expect.
Are you okay after the fall?
Well, I thought it was a step, and it's a good thing I have quick reactions. And due to lightning quick reactions and
to be perfectly honest, observing my players over and over, I was able to avoid catastrophe as I stepped on that stage. And I reacted as I'd seen my players react. I mean, in that split second, I thought to myself, what would my players have done in that situation? Boom, boom, boom. And then immediately it mobilized, and I was fine. Okay? And so I'll tell you what, that just shows. If you spend time with great people who are doing great things, some of it will rub off on you. Because that was better than I deserved. Because a lot of people would have eaten it in that situation, but not me. I was blessed by the people that I get to deal with every day.
He's somehow been, through osmosis, become athletic enough by hanging around with athletic people. He's now able to catch his balance and keep himself from falling on his face because he's around athletic people.
You know, there are just some people who, A, just tell stories in a way that's really entertaining, and B, their brain just gets from point A to point B completely differently. That's him.
I would love to hear him actually recruiting a kid. Like, if he's, seriously, he's sitting in a someone's drawing room at an old Southern-style house in Dothan, Alabama.
Unfortunately, the way you paint this is different than how it goes. Because I know somebody who was recruited by Mike Leach, and he played for Baker Mayfield's former high school, Lake Travis in Austin. And this is when Leach was at Texas Tech. And he's like, you wear red and black and are the Cavaliers. We wear red and black and we're Texas Tech. And he's like, I feel like this is an easy situation here. Just something that was like real simple. And he's like, you have a lot of offense. We have a lot of offense. What's not to appreciate? And that essentially worked.
That worked?
Yeah. I mean, he didn't have to say much. It was a very good team at the time.
Wow. Okay, I thought it was a little more delicate and diplomatic than that. But it just, what an odd person to have in your home. I know they're all football coaches, so they're all weird in one way or another.
I believe the exact pitch was, you were red and black and are the, what's Lake Travis, Cavaliers. We're red and black and we're the Red Raiders. We both have a lot of offense. This seems great. And he was like, yeah, it kind of does. But he's known for also recruiting a particular style attack, as everybody knows, system quarterback and all that discussion. But yeah, it worked out okay for him there. But that was the Leach recruiting at that point, at least with that individual.
Lawrence Holmes is stalking the hallways, and he's going to join us for Transition next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.